Welcome to the Common Geeking Program, a book club nerdcast, which is what I'm going to call it now, where each week three of us read up on a topic, then discuss it from geeky, nerdy perspectives. This week, I'm your host. My name is Laura, and we'll be discussing the TV show Altered Carbon. And we're talking about TV show intros this week.
Okay.
I'm joined by two people, each of whom have selected a domain that they think connects to our topic, and they are...
I'm Austin. I'm here again. And I came here with the offering of NBC's Hannibal. We're going to be talking about that intro.
That's what you've brought as your ritual sacrifice to the podcast gods?
Yeah.
Well, I'm Beautiful. Jeff, and what I've brought for the ritual sacrifice to the podcast gods is Danny Phantom.
He's a phantom.
And the intro of that.
Nice. And this is a great day to be bringing ritual sacrifices because although this will air in a few weeks, today is actually Friday the 13th. So
yeah,
I was thinking about that earlier. We all have kind of spooky things going on here, so I think it works out pretty well. We're going to start by summarizing my topic and domain before we openly... I should read the actual text that there, because it's right.
Your topic and your domain.
My domain.
Everything belongs to Laura in this episode.
I'm taking over as High Sheriff. Keenan, I'm coming for you.
Oh, shit.
I'll be real honest. It would not take that much of a coup to dethrone Keenan.
Oh, maybe we'll get it started.
Yeah, honestly, it would just, you just have to put it to a Democratic
you
vote.
You have the support of the people.
All right. We're going to start by summarizing our topic and their domains before we openly discuss as a group. And then we're actually going to close with a competitive rating section to determine who best contributed and whether today's topic was enjoyable to these two. So let's get started, man. All right, so let's get started. In this summary, we are going to talk a little bit about the intro to Altered Carbon, what the show is about, and then kind of what the TV intro meant. I sent these two a couple videos about TV show intros and how they've kind of risen in popularity and meaning recently. So we're going to talk about that a little bit as well, I imagine. So let's get started. Altered Carbon is one of Netflix's newest shows as of right now. By the time this airs, they'll probably have about 7,000 more, but it did air fairly recently. It is a show about a dystopian.
Yeah.
Dystopian future where humanity has figured out a way to load consciousness into chips called stacks. And so your entire person is
kind of a bad name for it, honestly.
Yeah, it's a weird name. So you basically put your entire self into the stack, which means that you can be sleeved, as the show calls it, into any body. So your physical form no longer matters. You as a person exist in this chip that gets inserted into your spine, basically. And so there's a potential to live forever unless your stack gets destroyed. If your stack is destroyed, you die unless you're very wealthy and you can afford a backup to the cloud.
So real quick mm-hmm. question. Do they also not come back if their head gets shot? Because I feel like they said that, but then they like shot a couple people in the head. I thought they said like, oh, avoid getting shot in the head or getting your stack or like getting hit in the back of the neck because that could destroy your stack.
Yeah.
Is that...
So I don't remember that specifically in the beginning, but it is very explicit later that, like, nothing but destroying your stack is going to kill you. So if you get shot in the head,
so
it really sucks.
Time out. So, wait, Jeffrey, have you just been watching Altered Carbon, or did you watch it because Laura actually said that we had to watch the show? Because I watched the intro, and I'm excited about starting the show.
Oh, nice.
But, like, I didn't watch the show.
I thought she did say to watch the first episode.
Oh, okay.
I did, well, but I you did. Know what?
But
I actually think we might
That's
get a really
me.
Interesting perspective on like what Austin thinks the show is about.
There you go.
Well, I've heard about it before, and I wasn't super excited, but then I saw the intro, and I was like, "Yo, I want to watch this."
The first episode was pretty okay.
Yeah, I mean, I really liked the show. I think it kind of got off to a little bit of a slow start, and then eventually found itself, which was really interesting because I think that the intro actually didn't super grab me at the beginning because it felt so in your face. Like, it has all this imagery of snakes and people shedding their skin. And yeah, I was like, wow, this is going to be so, like, it's so obvious. And I think that the show kind of...
Oh, yeah. Right. That's exactly what I thought when I watched the intro. I was like, oh, of course it's going to be about people taking their consciousness and putting it into other bodies. You're right. How could I not have seen that?
All right. So maybe not that odd, but, like, in the idea of, like, metamorphosing and, like, shedding your skin to become a different person, whatever. Like,
Once you know the metaphor, it is a little bit blatant.
Right. Yeah. I felt like the imagery was hitting me in the face a little bit.
Yeah.
Once I started the show, I really enjoyed it, and I rewatched, there's a long version and a short version, so I watched them both today just to kind of brush up on it. And the long version I actually really did enjoy, and I think it does a pretty good job of representing the show.
Yeah.
Austin, what were you gonna say?
Nice. Oh, I was gonna say that, like, even if, cause, like, I know the premise of the show, but even though I watched it, like, I think there's a lot more stuff there in terms of, like, in terms of symbolism, other than just like, oh, people are shedding their skin is going to be about people being immortal and shit. I don't know. There was a bunch of they used a bunch of stuff there.
So there's also the image of like the dragon. Like the snake ends up morphing into like this dragon tattoo that's like eating its own tail. So I don't know if that has like if that's supposed to imply some like Ouroboros type bullshit. Or if
it's definitely that. It's just they put it in a different, they put it into the infinity symbol just to make it like more so like, infinite.
Yeah. So we it's got, not like, quite levels. As finite. It's like, oh yeah, this will keep going forever.
Well, and that symbol actually does end up showing up in the show and represents a group of people.
Yeah, he gets at sort of the end of the first episode, he gets that tattooed onto his arm. So I assumed that it's like has something to do with what his cause was in this war that he was fighting before. I wasn't totally clear on what was going on there, but
yeah, well, and I think that the show does that a lot, and it's actually pretty well represented in the intro, where there's a lot of stuff that they keep. It's a mystery. The show is about this man who's incredibly wealthy, and he brings this like super soldier back essentially to try to figure out who killed him.
And our main character is the super soldier.
Right. And so he's like one of the oldest people in existence, and he's been put on ice for many years because of some sort of war crime. At the beginning, you don't know what that is.
Yeah, he's like a terrorist is what they call him.
Yeah. And so the show, like, obviously if a show is a mystery, you're not going to want to find out the like what the solution to the mystery is until the end. But I thought that it did a very interesting job of obscuring a lot of the facts and kind of sending these characters down these really weird rabbit holes. And one way that they're able to do that is because people are resleeving all over the place. And so you're never like there's a character that's an evil character that keeps on coming back. One of the villains like in different skins. And so it's really like interesting to kind of
some Doctor Who bullshit.
Yeah.
And I also thought it was, this is like kind of an aside, but he like has this like vision of, I guess, his sister or maybe someone he cared about who was like talking to him. And I thought that was interesting because the actress who plays her was also in a show called Dollhouse, which has a marginally similar premise. So it's funny. Oh, I saw her. I was just like, hey, you should be in this show.
It's funny that you bring that up because I was going to talk a little bit about like the feeling of the intro really reminded me of Dollhouse in a lot of ways. And also, I don't know if the intro as much, but definitely some of the themes of the show really reminded me of Sherlock. Like, and it felt like it felt like Altered Carbon was trying really hard to be Dollhouse and Sherlock. and I think for a little while that made me not like it as much because I was like, just be your own thing. Like, Sherlock is so amazing. You're never going to be able to make a show that's, you know what I mean? Like, give it some sort of respect, I guess, but don't make it Sherlock. And then Dollhouse had a very similar kind of mysterious feeling. And, like, the music was similar in the intro. So it kind of got you into that, like, you know, science fiction, weird things are going on. Like, nothing is exactly what it seems kind of feel. So I really got that feeling from Altered Carbon. Just to touch on the two videos that I had you guys watch briefly the audience knows what that was about. There were basically two fairly short videos about how TV intros have changed recently. And part
recently
of that,
being like in the past three decades.
Like, I guess that's not super specific, but like changed, I guess, over time is a more
even
accurate way to say
that. When did True Detective come out?
2012?
Well, they were saying, I think they were saying The Sopranos, so that's the 90s and a little bit before, I thought. But yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But do you guys actually want to talk a little bit about those videos? You seem to actually really enjoy.
I did.
Go ahead.
Oh, I mean, I just meant to say I did enjoy them, but I mean, yeah,
yeah,
no,
I don't
they
really,
just
they kind of blend together for me.
Yeah, no, me too. But the basic idea is that intros used to just be like a, and this is what show is coming up. So when you're like network television or you're watching cable, like it wasn't meant to be anything but like a thing till the next show starts in a way. Yeah. And now once they got, you know, more people involved and more artistic individuals and people really started like directing and thinking about these as an art form themselves.
Yeah.
The TV show intro has really formed into this representation of the show as a whole in like an encapsulated form. And they did talk a lot about The Sopranos in actually both of the videos that we watched about how that is supposed to really like slide you into the mood of the show.
Yeah, there was one quote where I don't remember who made the quote, but it was mentioned in one of the videos where a guy said that it was supposed to be like an airlock for going into the episode.
Yeah.
Where it's
just
like that.
It gets you from point A, which is your real life, to point B, which is like the mindset that you're supposed to be adopting when watching the show. So I thought that was a really interesting metaphor.
Yeah, I preferred in one of my notes, I wrote that they were tonal appetizers. Like it makes, because they were saying it makes you want more of it, so like, you know, you get into the, you see the thing and the intro is just like, it sort of gets you into the mood and then it makes you hungry for more, and then you watch the show and you're like, ah, I can't wait for the next time I eat that meal.
Which might be in 3 seconds as it's loading the credits.
or in 2 years.
True.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. It's a weird thing for, like, the Netflix shows, right? Because, like, those are also kind of designed to be binged. So it's weird to... So it's, like, some of the... Which is... I think it's interesting that Altered Carbon has the two different length intros. Because, like, I was like, oh, I'm going to... After I watch the episode, I'm going to go watch the intro again. So I watched... I just, like, pressed play and had it going.
Yeah.
And it was just like, that was not the same thing I watched the first time.
Anyway, so I just thought that Altered Carbon, like... When I watched the first intro, when I first turned it on, I didn't know what it was about. I had just seen like a brief trailer for it. And it did. It got me kind of into this, like, I knew it was going to be science fiction. I understood that like there was going to be some sort of like the shedding of the skin metaphor of changing, but, you know, becoming better maybe. And then, but it was like all weird and the music was kind of dark. And there was a lot of obscurity, like a lot of the visuals were like rainy cities that like morphed into all sorts of weird shit that like you could just tell that it was going to be some kind of crazy science fiction, dark mystery.
Yeah.
And it got me excited to watch the show. And honestly, it did start off a little bit slow, but I do think they really kind of came into their own. And I think that Altered Carbon is a really enjoyable science fiction mystery. And I think that the intro actually represents it very well. So...
Good shit.
Cool. All right. So now we are going to move on to the domains, where these guys will talk about the two shows that they, or the intros, I suppose, that they have brought. So Austin, you want to get us moving right along?
Yeah.
Hit us with that Austin.
Oh, yeah.
Goodness.
That cannibalistic. Yeah, I am. Yeah, so good. Like, first of all, I love Hannibal. It's a great fucking show, and I really want a season 4 to happen, and Brian Fuller keeps, like, tweeting shit about, like, oh, wouldn't that be great? And we're like, yeah, Brian.
It would.
It actually
Make it
would,
fucking
yes.
happen.
Yeah.
I stopped watching Hannibal because I watched it so often I started getting really weird nightmares, so it's been a little while since
I can understand
that. I really thought you were about to say cannibalistic urges, and I was about to get very concerned. I was like, that's a weird thing to casually mention, but,
no, that's one of the things I loved about Hannibal, though, was
Does that
like,
give you cannibalistic urges?
No, but while you're watching it, like, it puts you in such a...
You know, this is the second cannibal thing you've brought to the show. I'm a little worried about you.
No, it puts you in such a weird headspace, because you're like, oh, shit. Because, like, you spend the entire show, empathizing with and identifying all these characters who were, like, morally gray at best.
Mm.
And, like, everyone's trying to do things... for some reasons. Maybe they're the right things, maybe they're the wrong things, but it's really just all about, like, these intricate plots and absurd situations and psychological manipulation. If anyone doesn't know about Hannibal, it's based on the same book series as the series of movies was based on, about Hannibal Lecter, who's a cannibalistic murderer. Yes, but there were also other movies in the series. We only know about Silence of the Lambs because that was the only good movie in the series.
Right.
Poor Anthony Hopkins.
He was fucking great in that, though.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, the intro to Hannibal, which is what matters here, is... I thought it was fucking phenomenal the first time I watched it, and I was like, oh shit, that's cool. And it didn't really get old, because, like, you know, they have a really short one for the TV episodes. So what you see is, like, it's a blank white screen, and then, like, blood, or, like, this reddish liquid, maybe it's not blood, but it's totally blood, is flying across the screen.
Yeah.
And it slowly, like, morphs itself into the faces of some of the different characters in the show.
No, it's not.
As if they're, like, it's coagulating around, like, an invisible statue or something.
Mm.
And that, for me, it's got, like...
Like the Daredevil intro?
Yeah, it's kind of like the Daredevil intro, but it's much more... I think it's not just, like, dripping down, it's flying across the screen, and I think it's a lot more dynamic, and it also doesn't look as viscous as the Daredevil intro does, where the Daredevil intro, to me, looks a lot more like blood. Sorry, like jam. I don't know why I got those two things mixed
like
up.
Like blood! I mean jam.
Yeah, that's concerning, but... Austin. Everything you've said has only made me more concerned that you might want to be a cannibal.
Hey,
you just confuse
anyway, everything's
blood and
fine.
Jam.
Great with my muffins.
Actually, fun blood fact. Apparently, I just learned this today. Apparently, you can just buy industrial-sized bags of, like, I mean, this is kind of disgusting, but, like, industrial-sized bags of, like, dried animal blood. I assume it's from, like, slaughtered cows or something. It's advertised as, like, a fertilizer and also potential, like, fertilizer and as a method of, like,
deterring
keeping away
animals,
certain
yeah.
pests. Yeah, because, like, you know, you're trying to grow some lettuce, but you got a rabbit problem, but then the rabbits hop over to your lettuce and they're like, what the fuck? I'm out of here.
Why is it covered in blood?
Yeah. So that's a fun blood fact. Back to the intro.
I sort of hate to ask, but how did you... Go ahead.
I just, you know, I do a lot of things.
Oh my god, you're such
a
cannibal.
May or may not be cannibalism.
But the Hannibal intro, I think it's super cool because, like, the show ends up taught, like, it's all about how the good guys are chasing down Hannibal, Mads Mikkelsen's character, and, like, tracing out this idea of a person based on a bunch of different murders that are, like, elaborately displayed like works of art. So it's like they are constructing a picture of this guy's identity from the blood he's spilled, and then there's also another character in it who at one of the investigators who's like, he's like on the autism spectrum or he has Asperger's or something, but he's got, like, this really good ability to empathize with people, to find out, like, why, what would someone have committed this crime in a certain way. So, like, he can imagine scenarios in which someone would feel like they had to do this, and that's his, like, his special thing. His
autism superpower.
Yeah. You know, which is, it's not like a Temple Grandin thing going on. They're not like, this character is autistic, but I think it's easy to read him as a character who's somewhere on the autism spectrum.
More like Sherlock from the...
But, like, less of an asshole. Well, William's really nice.
He's a little bit, I don't know. He's a little bit more socially uncomfortable, I think, than Sherlock.
Yeah, but he doesn't, he's not a dick about it to everyone.
Right.
He just hangs out with dogs.
Right. Cool.
And I thought it was really cool that they, like, they build these faces out of the blood, and that's, like, symbolically connected. But then it's also about, like, the fact that, like, you know, these faces are built on nothing at all. So it's also kind of this existential thing going on, which becomes relevant later in the show because Hannibal, like, makes it a fucking hobby to, like, put people through various psychological traumas until they're, like, unrecognizable to other people. It's a whole thing. So, yeah,
cool.
I don't know. That's a fun one.
Well, thank you very much. We'll definitely talk more about that in the discussions because I think that it is both relevant, interesting, and slightly disturbing. So,
woo!
Just like Austin.
Yeah. Jeff, go ahead and tell us about, God, I can't remember the name of the show to save my fucking life.
Danny Phantom.
I don't know. It's just really complicated.
They make it so complicated because, like, his name is Danny Fenton, but then the show is Danny Phantom.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Danny Phantom.
Okay, I'm going to be talking about Danny Phantom, which is quite a bit of a departure from the other things we were talking about, obviously, in the show, because it is a cartoon, but also in the style of the intro. So for those of you who don't know, Danny Phantom was a show on Nickelodeon created by Butch Hartman, who also created The Fairly Odd Parents. So it's like sort of tonally like that, if you're more familiar with that. And it's about a boy named Danny Fenton, whose parents are ghost hunters, or like they're ghost researchers, I guess. And they're trying to make a portal to the ghost zone, this dimension where ghosts live. Danny accidentally gets stuck inside of it and is given ghost powers. So the entire show is about him living this superhero dual life where he is both Danny Fenton and Danny Phantom. And he has to fight a bunch of ghosts that are coming through the portal. What I really like about the Danny Phantom intro is, so this was something that was mentioned in one of the videos, was like, oh, in intros before, like, a lot of TV show intros would kind of give you a general synopsis of what the show is, right? Mm-hmm. And Danny Phantom definitely falls into that category.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a song about how Danny got his powers, right? It's talking, and the thing that I think is really interesting about it is that never happens in the show.
Really?
Like, yeah.
Oh, man.
In, like, sometime in the middle of the first or second season, you see a flashback as to how that was led up to. But the first episode of the show, Danny has had his powers for months. And it only goes on later from there. So basically, the thing that I think is really interesting about that intro is that it replaces the entire, like, origin story. It's just like, you know what happened. We told you in that song. Duh. And we're going to remind you of it every episode in a catchy-ass song.
That's kind of cool, though, because it's that's kind of Shakespearean, because, like, they're using all these myths and stuff that everyone already knows, but instead here we just got this person who's like, hey, I'll fill you in on the details, and now we have the fallout.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like in the Hercules movie.
Yeah. So I had a lot of great ideas for things that I could bring to this episode that I think would have fallen more, like, tonally similar to the other things we're talking about, like Game of Thrones, Westworld, and stuff like that. And I was like, the Danny Phantom song has been stuck in my head ever since I finished rewatching the series a few months ago. And it's a great song. And it's also a bit of a departure from what we were talking about before. So I thought I'd talk about that.
Still about death.
Oh my God, I got so much time left. I could do a dramatic reading of the Danny Phantom theme song. Let's fucking do
it.
Oh, geez.
Let's do it.
Welcome to CGP. And this is Jeffrey Levitt reading the intro to Danny Phantom.
Young Danny Fenton, he was just 14 when his parents built a very strange machine. It was designed to view a world unseen. He's gonna catch them all because he's Danny Phantom. When it didn't quite work, his folks, they just quit. But Danny took a look inside of it. There was a great big flash. Everything just changed. His molecules got all rearranged. Phantom, Phantom. When he first woke up, he realized he had snow white hair and glowing green eyes. He could walk through walls, disappear, and fly. He was much more unique than the other guy. And it was then Danny knew what he had to do. He had to stop all the ghosts that were coming through. He's here to fight for me and you. He's gonna catch a mug, sees Danny Phantom. Gonna catch a mug, sees Danny Phantom. Gonna catch a mug, sees Danny Phantom. That was incredibly awkward from my end. I don't know how you guys felt, but...
I mean, I loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
So, yeah, basically, I don't know how much time I actually have left, but basically that's just a synopsis of what the show is. So it definitely captures that sort of superhero vibe where it's like giving him this origin story and it's kind of explaining like how his family is, right? Like it says a lot about his parents that they just fucking like tried to do this weird shit and then failed. You know, is there a fucking adjective form of the word synecdoche, Austin, my literary boy?
I don't know.
Anyway, it's like a synect. It's like
I don't know how it
synect. It synecticizes like his parents' entire personalities, where they're just kind of like these bumbling goofs and who've like accidentally caused this thing. And it's like also a big thing in the show that like Danny Phantom like looks like he does as a human. He just has different features, yet no one seems to recognize him, and it's like barely ever brought up. So, and his parents are constantly trying to hunt ghosts, and he is a ghost, and they'd have no fucking idea. Anyway, so, that's my time, but...
all right, cool. So, now that we have summarized all the things and the stuff, let's move on to our discussion. And I wanted to start off with one for Jeff, which...
That's me.
...came up as we were finishing up the summary of his domain, which is... Did Danny Phantom's parents kill him?
Okay, so this is kind of inconsistent in the show, but, but no. The answer is no. But
okay,
like basically the ghosts, quote unquote ghosts in the show are not the spirits of dead people. They're just like ectoplasmic beings. It's a little bit inconsistent.
That's a cop out.
Yeah, it's a little bit inconsistent because definitely a couple of the ghosts have been referred to have been like alive at one point, but I think that they just kind of retconned that decision like after they figured out where the story was going. So yeah,
and also that it was a kids show.
Yeah, I mean, no,
but some kids shows are dark.
Yeah,
that's true.
No, but Danny Phantom. So Danny Phantom is also like he's half ghost, so like he can change into his ghost form. So he, yeah, no, he's alive.
Okay.
Yeah, they could have, though.
Because I was thinking, like, they left this crazy weird machine. He walks into it and, like, presses a button. And like,
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems like maybe he's dead now.
Well, yeah. I mean, they are that
they
incompetent.
Have killed him.
Yeah.
They have killed him. All right.
Yeah.
Anyway, now to maybe or hopefully a more serious question. I do think it's really interesting that TV show intros are becoming more of an art form because, like, there's very little art that I want to see that many times in a row, especially if you're binge watching something.
Yeah, I mean, so, usually I don't even want to see the intro that much in a row.
Yeah, and, like, you know, everyone's so excited about Netflix having the skip intro section now, too, like...
Oh my god, but sometimes it just does it automatically, but like the intro for Series of Unfortunate Events, I don't know if you've watched that show, but it's slightly different each time, so I want to watch it each time,
and
I just have to keep rewinding back because Netflix automatically skips it.
For some shows, if I really like the song for the intro, then I'll be like, no, I don't want to skip this shit, stop that, don't tell me what to do, Netflix.
Like The Office. I would like to watch the intro to The Office every single time.
Yeah.
I never want to skip that.
I mean, it's also definitely better on shows that are like an hour long as opposed to like, you know, like I love the theme song of Danny Phantom, but those episodes are 20 minutes long. And like if I'm watching a shit ton of them in a row, like I don't want to hear it every single time.
Yeah. And with that note, like, how do you think that TV show intros kind of became this art form when that is a reaction to so many shows? Like for Danny Phantom and for Hannibal, like how do you feel about that in terms of your TV show intro?
I feel like part of the reaction to making it like a little bit more thematically appropriate for the show is probably to do with the sort of shift from episodic shows to serialized shows, right? Because like, I mean, even before we had the easy capability of binging something, right? Like the kind of shows that have more serialized formats, you probably want to watch more of at once. So having an intro that's a little bit less accosting is probably better. Because if you have to watch it over and over again, and like, I don't think that those things are necessarily like have to be in tandem, but I have noticed that a lot of these sort of like artsy new intros for like shows and things have mostly been like just music and not like or like less lyrics oriented if it is music, and like less catchy and like, you know, trying to grab you and put, it's like more of like, it's like an emphasis on getting you into the mind space rather than like being
capturing
like a
your attention
to catch you.
Yeah,
exactly. So the contrast between like, you know, what's the show called, Altered Carbon, and like Danny Phantom, right, is that like Danny Phantom is very episodic, right? So like you hear that intro and you're like, oh shit, I want to watch this show now because that intro was fun, whereas Altered Carbon, you know, like you're probably going to watch more of it at once, so it's like getting you in the vibe, right? Like you've already selected to watch this show. Here's how you should feel, not here's, you know, here's a thing, this is what's supposed to be grabbing you for, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
so it's like
fair.
Less grabbing you and more getting you into something that you've already decided to watch.
Yeah.
Which probably has to do with like the difference in episode length too, but you know, go ahead.
I don't know. I don't like, cause I think that a lot of it probably also, I feel, for me, I feel like it has more to do with like industry development and like how shows have become more lucrative over time rather than like it just being about like the style of show. Because like if you look at like Avatar The Last Airbender, that show, it like at some points it's like super episodic, and at other points it really is just like like the same storyline strung together over a bunch of episodes, but they still have like that introductory thing, so you could drop in anywhere, but in a lot of places it would be helpful to have context. But I think like for like the big name films and stuff, like and this is relevant to Hannibal, but like as you get, as like it, shows become more lucrative, it attracts more artists and like designers and stuff to that industry.
True.
And then people start to like care more and like inspire others to be better. But like an interesting thing about Hannibal's development was that like they hired out a studio to, well, they had like a lottery thing. They had a bunch of studios that came to them with like potential intros. And when they saw the one that is the intro, they were like, no, it's that one. This is perfect. But it was really just like, hey, a bunch of artists are kind of competing for this because that's like it's what gives you money.
Right.
You know, not that I'm a big fan of capitalist hell, but you know, I think that is important in the development of art.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was apparently one that they had where it was just going to be like Hannibal, like slowly Hannibal's eyes opening, and probably they would be cutting at it from different angles and it would look really creepy and stuff, but they were like, we were thinking about that one, but then we saw the blood and we were like, it's the blood.
Yeah,
it's Brian Fuller.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's like a good point, the touching on like, oh, the fact that TV shows intros have become more artistic is because like probably just because the medium in general is becoming more artistic, right?
Right.
Like, as you look at all of these things, right, like if you look at movies and TV shows and video games, they start off as gimmicks, you know, and then once they've become more mainstream, then people start being able to take them a little bit more seriously, and then people can start making like metaphors and art from it, right? Like the first movies were just like, holy shit, look, you can see a moving picture now, right? And that was pretty much the gist, right? Like and then
isn't
from
that
people are just like, hey, we could make stories out of this, right? And like TV shows, you know, like fucking, you know, starting off more just like, hey, here's a little snippet of a thing to watch. Like the serialized TV show is I think kind of a relatively new development compared to like...
Yeah, wasn't Lost one of the first serialized TV shows?
Yeah, and Lost's intro is not that great.
No.
I mean,
it's the worst. I hate that intro,
it,
honestly.
It captures the tone well, but, you know, it's not
as fun. It doesn't make you want to... It makes you want to turn the TV off, really. Because it's just like 8 seconds too long.
It's just like, hey, look at this one word. This is the name of the show. Really slowly. With...
Yeah.
And Lost has some good music, too. So they definitely could have had...
Yeah.
One thing that I mean, I really do think that there are so many TV shows that do this so either well or appropriately. Like, I'm going to go back to The Office again, where it doesn't... Yeah. It doesn't, it's not like an in-depth artistic look at a serious show, but it just, that little ditty and the few images that you get to see, like, just puts you in that mindset so quickly and so effectively that I think it's so great. But another show that you touched on earlier, too, is Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And similar to the series of unfortunate events, the thing that's really cool about the Game of Thrones TV show intro is that it tells you where you're going to be. And yeah. I think that that's so cool because then you can kind of say, like, if you're somebody that follows the story that closely and you want to do the kind of the investigative work, you can really right. look at it and say, like, oh, we're going to go to Dorne this episode. That's really cool. Like, I guess we're going to see the Sand Snakes and get all excited for the things that are to come.
Yeah. And it also, it helps you, like, make sense of the world that you've already been told about, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, it's a fictional world, so you don't know where all these things are in relation to each other. So seeing right. that intro is really helpful to, like, showing the scale. So that you can, like, I mean, even if that's broken sometimes where, like, a character will show up halfway across the world in, like, one episode, and then another character will spend, like, 3 months getting somewhere that's right next door.
I think that's, like, a temporal thing. Like, they just skip a lot of time without actually saying, you know.
Sure.
Yeah,
it's been 3 months. Yeah.
But yeah,
it definitely,
no, I think...
it helps you make sense of and keep track of, like, all of the things that exist in the world, which is really helpful for a show like Game of Thrones because, like... They've got
they're
a fuck ton of characters. They're all over the place,
No, that's right, though. And I was thinking, you know, it just reminded me, like, there are very few big fantasy books that I've read that focus on, like, any sort of fantasy geopolitics or, like, huge wars or anything or, like, huge... like journeys that don't have some kind of map. So like while you're reading through the book, you can flip back to the cover and say, oh, they're here now. And like that's, it serves the same purpose for us, which is kind of cool. Cause it's like, and it's also like kind of thematically, it's right at the beginning. So it's like, you open up the book. Oh, look at the map. Oh, let's get to the show. I don't know.
Word.
I like that.
And then it
that's
also
so cool.
has like, I think it was mentioned in the video, but it has like a sort of board game aesthetic, which kind of like points out the fact that like the entire show is like a big moving chessboard and you're, you know, like you're following
is
all these characters who are like manipulating
Game
each other.
Of Thrones.
Exactly that.
I
just think it's such a great intro. But going back to, I suppose, the more specific domains that we brought today and the topic of Altered Carbon, another thing that I wanted to talk about was, you know, again, we have touched on this, but the music involved, like I think it is really interesting to see kind of, you know, if you're looking at Danny Phantom, it is like singing you the story of what happened before and with
it's
Hannibal.
It's very Fresh Prince.
Yeah. And in Hannibal, it's and Altered Carbon, it really is more of that kind of mood.
Hey, feel uncomfortable now.
Yeah. Yeah. Feel awkward and strange.
Yeah, we'll
and
get
murdery.
This weird high pingy noise and also this slithering.
I know, I was fucking watching the intro of Altered Carbon. I was just like, okay, I'm gonna have to wait to find out if the snake is a metaphor or not, or if there's actual snakes in this show. Because, like, I remember fucking the reason that I started watching Supernatural, right, was because the image of it on Netflix was a picture of one of the brothers, Sam, with, like, a snake on his arm. And I'm just like, oh, shit, this looks cool. And then that snake just turned out to be a metaphor because there's, like, you know, a bunch of evil demonic shit going on with Sam all the time. And I'm like, okay, so he never gets a snake at any point in the series? Fuck you.
Amazing.
Oh,
I didn't know that.
But I don't know. I feel like there's so much to be said about TV show intros, and I feel like I'm kind of stuck on the imagery and the music and the place that it kind of puts you. But
yeah,
like when you're thinking about memories and associations, like smell has such a strong memory association where if you smell something, it brings you to a place. And I think that music does that too. And I think obviously if you're looking at a TV show, you're trying to get as many people interested in watching as possible. And if you get that song that just gets in your head, you know, you've done something really right.
Actually, like a little while ago, right, I was like going around on YouTube and I listened to like a compilation of a bunch of old like Cartoon Network and Nicktoon theme songs, right? And it actually like reminded me of some shows that I completely forgotten existed.
Yeah.
And like not just because like, oh, this is brought to my attention, but like it reminded me of like the vibes of the show that like I haven't watched in like over 10 years or something. Mm. And I'm just like, you know, it got me to be like, yo, I want to rewatch those shows now because like I feel like I just have, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like in terms of
change.
Like cartoons and stuff definitely have that whole vibe of like bringing you back to the moment, yeah. to like this, you know, like it definitely triggers your memories of how it felt to watch that show. And I guess it's hard to say because most of these serialized TV shows, at least that I've watched, have been fairly recent. So I don't know if it would have the same effect or
because
like the only one that I can think of right is just like, well, yeah, I watched Lost a long time ago, but again, we said like Lost is injured. I don't think really does it, but maybe it could have if it were, I don't
if
know
it knew.
Yeah, if you didn't have that much to compare it to and you would just be like, this is iconic, this right. what a statement.
Yeah, and it's funny that you bring that, because what I was going to ask from that kind of nostalgia factor is like, am I going to feel that way about, you know, I'm never going to feel that way about the Hannibal song, right? Like, I've watched Hannibal and I've seen the thing, but, or I've seen the intro a bunch of times, but that song isn't going to draw me back. Unless it is? I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. Like, I don't know. Ones that I could think of. I think of Game of Thrones might do that for me. I think Westworld might do that for me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Geez. But again, like, that's all predicting because these things are relatively recent. I'm trying to think of, like, a show that I watched a long time ago. Smallville. I don't know. That's more kiddie too, though. So I don't know.
I mean, I'm thinking like definitely when I was in middle school, like you got, because the intros changed a lot, like every season or every two seasons. But like specific intros from like Naruto and fucking Yu-Gi-Oh and Yu-Gi-Oh GX, like specific songs will just be like, oh my god, I'm back in 2006, what's going on,
right? I guess I'm wondering if like the serialized more artsy ones without like lyrics for the songs would have that same sort of effect as like cartoons and stuff like that. I mean, I'm sure it probably does, but I'm trying to think of a good example of like a serialized show that I watched a long time ago.
Well, it's hard to imagine too, because I think some of the more artistic and serious, like, you know, the times change and cultural perspective on things change. And if you're putting a TV show intro in that's super iconic, but everything changes and we've moved on to another kind of domain or frame of reference, like it may not have the same impact as that like serious nostalgia factor. Like they talked a lot about the Sopranos TV show intro. And to be fair, I've never watched the Sopranos, but when we were watching it, they were talking about how it really like made this huge impact. And it was an incredible change that was really supposed to get you into the frame of mind. And as I was watching it, I was just like, all right, like whatever. I don't know. And I just didn't feel it. And it's an interesting take to, like, I think this is still such a new art form that I'm really excited and interested to see and kind of where it goes. Because I think it has a lot of potential.
I don't know, man. I think that the music really does a big part of that, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Because, like, in terms of the recall factor, because, like, the ones that I was thinking of, like Game of Thrones and Westworld, like, those have fantastic music, like, in the intro. Whereas something like Altered Carbon, like, it's kind of minimal, you know?
Yeah.
And, like,
visually, I loved it.
Yeah,
the visual definitely does more in Altered Carbon than the music.
And I'm thinking of like some of the Marvel Netflix shows, like Daredevil and Jessica Jones have pretty good intros, I think. I like Jessica Jones ones a lot more, and I think that that definitely like sets the vibe.
Yeah.
More.
Although if you're talking about it setting the vibe, if you go back and watch it in 20 years from now, it should have that same impact, right?
You know, right. I kind of feel that way about like the Twilight Zone. It used to be on at like 10 o'clock at night on Saturdays, so like it was on when I got home from some shit and like we'd watch
from
my
his
dad
cannibalistic
no, because it is, I don't want to give my life story right now.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah,
you're a cannibal. It's like whatever, right?
We understand.
Should that disqualify you from the Gold Star Student Award? I think so, but I'm not the host, so
that's fucked up.
You're right. I'm sorry for being discriminatory against cannibals, Austin.
You know, it's a valid political position is eat the rich, so
eat the rich and poop on the poor.
Oh man. Well, that's kind of all of the questions that I had. I know this has been a little bit of a shorter discussion than normal.
Yeah, no,
but
it's okay.
I do have a question from a quote-unquote listener, Colin.
I mean, he listens to shit. He's listening right now.
I don't know if I'd call Colin a listener.
I
mean,
I think he's got
of the podcast, maybe, but just like in general, I don't know.
But he has a, he wrote in a question, and he did follow all the rules, so I guess we can read it as a listener question. but he wanted to know, how does the show's abbreviation of its title sequence in the middle eight episodes change its impact upon the show compared to a typical title sequence that's the same every episode?
So, in terms of, like, changing the impact, but I don't, I think we can go into that, but I think that the thing that stands out to me is that, like, it seems like it's sort of adopting that same, like, Netflix mentality of, like, oh, yeah, you definitely want to skip the intro. It's sort of like, it makes it feel like the intro is supposed to be taken less seriously to me, honestly, because it's just like, hey, you don't want to watch this all the time. Whereas, like, all the other intros are just like, yeah, our intro is great. You're going to want to watch it every single time, and you fucking know you will. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Like, it sort of seems like it's trying to spare you the like, oh, the click the skip button. But that it also, in that sense, gives, like, assumes that you want to, which sort of, like, it's sort of, like, diminishing itself in a way.
Yeah, it's reminds me of, this is a little bit of a weird thing to remind me of, but there's this, like, really crazy Japanese gummy candy that had this really long and complicated storyline of TV show commercials.
Oh, are you talking about the one where it's long?
Yes.
And it, like, it's, oh, my God. Yep. Yeah, no, I feel that. Yeah,
the long, long man, or whatever. Anyway.
Yeah, there's, like, it's just, like, repeated instances of this couple, like, this teenage couple walking around, and, like, the guy will take out this candy and have a piece of it, and, like, he's, like, he wants to share it with his girlfriend or something, but then his girlfriend will see this guy way off in the distance, like, just this man in, like, a leather jacket with an extraordinarily long piece
of
gum.
It's, like, 10 times longer.
And then, like, there's these people screaming, long gummy, or, like, gummy long or something, and then she's, like, completely smitten with that guy, and her boyfriend's like, what?
Yeah.
It's really weird. And then there's just, like, that guy waving around this huge fucking piece of candy in his mouth.
So yeah,
what makes you remind?
So the way that this is relevant is that you're never going to sit down and, well, okay, so I sat down and watched all of them in the same, at the same time, because somebody put it on YouTube and Charles was like, this is hilarious, come watch it with me. But, like, you're not going to get that whole story in one sitting if you're just watching TV and the commercials come up. Instead, you're going to get little clips of it. And I think that, like, A, I think that the storyline TV commercial is actually a really good one, because I'm interested in seeing the whole thing at once and, like, following the story. But at the same time, you're only going to get these abbreviated pieces of it. And so you're missing so much extra context. And I think if you're going to create these TV show intros that are supposed to really, like, drive your interest in the show, like, it's hard to say, because when you're first watching the show, you kind of need that. If you're binging it, you don't. But if you're going to say, I watched the first three episodes of Altered Carbon and then went 3 weeks without watching it, and then I'm going to watch another episode, you want that whole intro.
Yeah. So it's,
so
sort
it's
of
a,
like,
it's a hard line to draw.
I feel like you kind of want to either watch it in its entirety or skip the whole thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
So, like, the shortened one is weird because, like you said, right? Like, if you stop in the middle of the season and then start again later, then you won't properly get back in that mind space again, maybe.
Maybe, though, it's just, like, this is a further innovation. It's like, oh, we can just shorten it and still get some of that same feeling. And even if people like you right now are just sort of, like, jarred by it, and I might be jarred by it when I watch the show, but, like, I imagine, like, it could be possible at some point for, like, say, like, at the beginning of the show, you have your super long, like, your big intro, the big piece of art.
Yeah.
But then in further episodes, like, I could see someone doing something where they have, like, either this sort of completely different intros that, like, thematically tie into different parts of the episode or a storyline that are relevant, like, either completely different little things of their own, or, like, or just, like, sort of spin-offs of different parts of the whole intro so that they sort of all weave together in the end.
Right, but it's kind of like the Game of Thrones intro, right, where they focus on different places.
Yeah, and the unfortunate
but it's just, it's still
same. And the series of unfortunate events, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but those ones are still the same length of time, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, it's not,
I don't know, it's
interesting. It's not like there's a master file for the fucking Game of Thrones intro where it goes to everywhere. Because
I could just see this as, like, a further development.
What's interesting is that I didn't even realize that Altered Carbon had shortened its intro for a while, because, like, a lot of times I'll watch multiple episodes of it in a row and then it kind of all blends together and then it's gone. But when I went back to go try to watch it, specifically thinking about the fact that we were doing a TV show intro, and I watched it, I was like, that seems a lot shorter than what I remember.
Yeah.
And it kind of threw me off a little bit, especially considering I remember watching the intro for the first time in that first episode, and it made a much, much different impact. But yeah, at the same time, it's designed, you know, you're not going to just jump into the middle of the TV show. Like, that's
right,
not
yeah,
the world
yeah,
that we live in. You're going
like
to
you
have
seen,
seen
it.
Other ones. Yeah.
So maybe it's yeah, just like the shortened version that like gets you in the right mind space to remember the thing that got you in the right mind space
right,
the first time.
Right. So it's a little. It's...
We got a whole Russian doll situation.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it still does a good job of kind of representing, you know, what it is and what it does. And maybe if you want to read into it really deeply, you know, maybe at that point, a lot of the mystery has started to be solved and you know more about the world, and so you don't need as much obscurity in the beginning of the intro because
right, I mean maybe like
thematically it's not there anymore.
I don't know if it's the case for this intro, but like something along that format, it could be an interesting thing where like the showrunners want you to forget about something that maybe like you see it the first time right before you get what it means, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
And then like it gives you the shortened one for a while, and then like Colin said, at the end of the season it does the full one again, and you're like, oh shit, I forgot about that element of it, that totally makes sense for what I've seen. So maybe
yeah,
it's supposed to like
yeah,
it like it definitely has an aspect of highlighting the particular
right,
episodes that it chooses
to give
the long intro.
It's like a key to a puzzle or something.
Yeah. I don't know if this show like does that fully because I only watched the first episode, but like that would be an element where it's like, oh, every time you need to know that like shit's about to real go down, like
yeah,
they'll give you the long intro.
They'd be like, no, you really need to be in the mood for this
you
shit.
Really,
like,
you really
get ready.
Need to remember the snake. Like,
awesome. Well, thank you, Colin, so much. Austin, I'm sorry, did you have one more?
Oh, yeah, no, it's okay. We can thank Colin. He deserves it.
Colin, thank you. We appreciate your question. Listeners, if you have any questions for us about our specific topics or just things about our lives, like whether or not Austin is in fact a cannibal.
I've had that question
feel free to
for
reach
quite
out
a
to
long
us, you
time.
Know?
Oh, my God.
We'll go into more details on how soon.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we'll go into details
yeah,
on
right
that
now.
Now, actually.
Yeah.
I was just
after this commercial break.
What? I was just going to say that I thought it was kind of fun that we all chose, like, all of our shows here are like, super about the character's identity and messing around
yeah,
with it.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, it was a funky thing that I was like, oh yeah, I didn't even think about it with Danny Fenton because, like, I was just thinking about Hannibal and how it's, actually, I feel like it's got a lot of similarities with the Altered Carbon trailer, the Hannibal trailer, but then I was like, oh yeah, the whole fucking premise of Danny Phantom is that he's trying to hide his identity from everyone and also be a super ghost boy.
Yeah.
It's just silly on my part.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Three great shows, and I think that there's something to be said about shows about identity. Excuse me. But anyway, so listeners, that was Colin's question, but if you ever want to have your own question or comment right on the show, we make weekly posts on Facebook and Twitter where you can comment your reply.
We'll
talk about it. I think it's always really valuable to get other people's perspectives on things, and as the host, we always have to come up with our own questions, and so those are from our perspectives, and you know, it's really nice sometimes to get somebody else's idea of what they would like to know more about as well. So send those in.
The postmodern geeking program.
Indeed. but it helps make the show a little bit more fun and personal.
Oh, sure.
All right. So thank you for that very engaging discussion. That is the adjective that I chose today. We are going to move on to the ratings.
I want to release our guide sometimes so people can see just like how much Colin goes into like script it, trying to script the show.
Or maybe just how much we ignore it.
My favorite thing was in the old credit, in the credits read for a while, he specifically put a note in there to pause between saying, and as always, thank you for listening to this. He said, he wrote in there, pause, and I'm just like, you motherfucker, let people read it how they're gonna read.
We appreciate all the hard work that you do, Colin.
Although, you know what he could have done? put a comma in.
He could have put a comma in. That is what that is representative of. All right. Speaking of representative, we are going to have our representatives rate the topic on a scale from 1 to 5 stacks.
So are we rating the intro?
I would rate the intro. Originally, I was going to have this be kind of how representative the intro was of the show. I think that might be a little bit more complicated for Austin. That's okay. So we will just kind of rate the intro in your, like, sorry, my alarm keeps going.
That sounded spooky.
And how it would have drawn you into into the show.
It sounded like someone was going, like, drumming on the camera, on the mic. Camera. Mic.
Yeah, it's all the same thing. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, we're gonna rate the intro to Altered Carbon. So 1 to 5 stacks.
Okay.
Austin, you are first.
I don't know if I am overvaluing certain aspects of the intro or undervaluing certain aspects of the intro, but I think that I would like, knowing what I know, like the basic premise of the show. Like I knew about the stack thing. And the fact that, like, it's a murder mystery, and, like, you know, people can be in different bodies. I knew about that stuff, so, you know, the sci-fi mystery angle. And I thought that, I thought that it was really representative of that, even though I didn't, like, I didn't care as much about the, I think I picked up on some different things from what you were talking about. Like, I was thinking, I don't know, there's a bunch of shit, but I don't need to talk about it right now.
That's a good synopsis.
So, like, I'd say I'd give it 4 stacks. Just four people minds in there.
Yeah.
Maybe they're empty. Maybe it can do what it wants with them.
All right, well, great. Thank you, Austin. 4 out of 5 stacks is pretty good.
So, I mean, I did enjoy the episode a lot, but as TV intros go, this intro did not catch me super much, did not catch me a whole lot, and I think I agree with you, like, upon after watching the episode, that the metaphors are a little bit in your face with, like, the whole reptilian thing, and also, I don't know, I'm just kind of tired of snakes as symbolism.
I feel you.
So, I did enjoy the episode, and I think it was an interesting show. And in terms of, like, I don't know, in terms of the intro, I think I'm gonna give it 2 stacks out of 5.
Wait, can I fight with you for a minute, though?
Yeah, fight with
me. Because I think the snakes are really cool, even if, because I wasn't thinking so much about the shedding skins and being a different personality thing,
because
that wasn't as apparent to me in, like, the descriptions of the show that I'd heard, but, like, the first thing I thought of when I saw the snakes was, like, oh yeah, it's a murder mystery, the snakes is, like, treacherous and stuff, and then they had the 2-snake thing, and then the snakes were, like, coiling around the lady, and I was like, oh, that's, like, the, because, like, and then the wings came out from behind her, I was like, oh, that's, like, the Caduceus symbol. It's, like, the medical symbol, and it's also, like, the symbol of Hermes, so it's, like, travel between the living and the dead, and you got all these metaphoric resonances going on. All
right, fine. You win. I'm going to bump it up to 3 stacks.
Nice.
I think I might have to, at some point, vaguely consider going into the 0.5 realms of things, because
sometimes
I feel like I give
pretty
much... I feel like I pretty much give everything a 3 or a 4, and a 3 is like, oh, if I wasn't too keen on it, and a 4 is if I was, like, into it, and then, like, every once in a while I'll stray out of that and give, like, a really bad one or a really good one, but it's, like, almost everything I've written is being a 3 or a 4, and 3 seems too low or too high sometimes, and 4 seems too low or too high sometimes, so I don't know, but I'm gonna go with 3.
Nice. All right. This has been... I don't know. I was a little worried that TV show intros wasn't going to be enough content to talk about, but I really appreciate that we got into some pretty great discussions about things, and, you know, it definitely took a couple swerves that I wasn't necessarily expecting.
Some twists and turns.
On that note, it is my time to award a Gold Star student.
Wait a minute.
Oh,
one of us should have repped the theme song for the Common Geeking program, guys. Sorry, continue.
So I am going to give this to the person who brought the most new perspective to me, which is a very subjective rating, but as I am the host, I am allowed to do that. And it was actually very challenging. I think that you guys both brought some really interesting things. Jeff, I love that you brought something that was a lot more nostalgia based and kind of before the whole artistic movement to kind of represent that area of intros. And Austin, I think that you did a really great job of describing some of the higher art that TV show intros can have. And that being said, I think
being
that
a cannibal.
And him being cannibal, which now makes this uncomfortable because, Austin, you have won the Gold Star Student Award. I think the one piece that really stuck in my mind that just edged you over, Jeff, a little bit was
hey, Laura,
that...
what's the award?
fuck. I was totally prepared for this. So, Austin, you have won the Golden...
The Golden Austin's Totally a Cannibal? What?
That's, no.
shit. This is the most challenging thing that I've done literally all day. You've won the Golden Snake, because that is a very... the Infinity Snake of Altered Carbon.
Amazing. I'm just amazed.
I know, you're thrilled. But I did want to give you a little bit of a reason why. I just thought that your perspective on kind of the financial aspect of TV shows becoming a more prosperous endeavor and how that can affect the art of TV intro shows was really great. So thank you both so much. You both did a great job. Austin, congratulations.
Thank you. I'm just honored. I'm not going to do a speech because I'm not that much of a dick.
Oh, shit. He's calling out someone in our podcast.
I wonder who.
It used to be a lot easier to make that, but then I never won any, so I couldn't do it back when it was only A.
Well, you won this one. And again, thank you guys so much. So that does about wrap it up for this episode. Thank you so much for listening to the Common Geeking Program. I'm your host, Laura Kramer, and if you're interested in getting in contact with me, I do look at the Common Geeking Program Facebook. I don't have a whole lot else going on with the social medias, so sorry about that. And again, I have been joined by...
Austin. Oh, yep, that's me.
That is you.
Austin.
Your name.
You can try to find me on Facebook, but I'm not gonna accept friend requests from strangers.
You can try to find him, but he's really good at hiding.
It's because he's a cannibal.
He's a sneaky boy.
Thank you, Austin. And also, who else have I in fact been joined by? Jeff?
Oh, I'm Jeff. Since you forgot my name, clearly. my name is Jeff Levitt, for what it's worth. I've got an Instagram that is things I wish existed, and there's a dot between each word, except probably not after the last one. Unsure.
Nice. Well, you did say between and not after, so
yeah, true.
Holds true.
I post some art stuff on there.
Awesome.
I in heavy air quotes.
I'm wondering if maybe this is why we don't have as much of a following as we could, because we're all like, no, we don't really want to talk to you. We're afraid of strangers. No, but we really
Someday.
Do. Just through the Common Geeking Program website and Facebook and Twitter, which is at Common Geeking Program. Next week, our episode will be hosted by... Which one?
It's me. It's me.
It's the Austin boy.
I'm going to be talking with Colin and Pat about some philosophy of mind stuff. We're going to be talking about bats, mostly.
Like the things that fly?
Yeah, the bats that fly, not the bats that you make hits with.
Not the bats that Austin uses to disarm his foes before he eats them. Not those bats.
I was thinking baseball, but, you know, whatever you want to do with it. And, yeah, for that, we can't go over the entire discipline in a podcast, so I'm going to have them read two essays, one called What Is It Like to Be a Bat by Thomas Nagel, and then a response called What Is It Like to Be Boring and Myopic by Kathleen Akins.
Wow.
And you can find those on Google for free. They're, I mean, like, not on Google, but you can use Google to find websites where you can view them for free if you're interested in that shit.
Nice. That sounds very strange and interesting, and I'm looking forward to hearing that. So be sure to tune in next Friday on May 11th, which will be the day that airs. Although feel free to listen to it at any point. You don't have to do it on Fridays if you don't feel like it. Feel free to follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Common Geeking. I'm going to reread that one. Please feel free to follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Geeking Program. Any engagement, such as sharing a post, tagging us, or tweeting hashtag CGP, will enter you into a raffle where you get to pick a topic for a future episode. I know that we have one of those in the works already, so I'm very excited to hear how that's going to go.
It's a fun one. I'm excited for that one.
Nice.
I'm not going to be on it.
Yeah, we've actually had one in the past also that was super fun. So if you guys have something you want us to talk about, that's the way to get that to happen.
Go for it.
Reviewing us on Apple Podcasts is a very critical way and help to grow our show. And we will read new reviews on the air. I do have exciting news. We got a new rating. However, we did not get a new review. So all I can say is 5 stars. Anyways, thanks so much for listening, subscribing, sharing, and everything that you do. We will talk to you next week.
Yeah, boy.
This episode of the Common Geeking Program was hosted by Laura Kramer, joined by the representatives Austin Liebers and Jeffrey Levitt. This episode is sponsored by Cannibalism Jokes. Some people just find them too hard to swallow. The podcast is created and produced by Colin Ketchin and Jeff Levitt, with this episode edited by me, Jocelyn Barkenhagen, and original music by Colin Ketchin. Next week, we'll be talking about philosophy. Be sure to read up on that. And thank you for listening to this.
Now that we have, I like need to talk to Colin. Colin is a little bit of a robot, and so when he writes the thing, and then I get stuck in it, and then I can't say it my own words, and then I try, and then I fuck up, and okay, I'm done complaining now. All right,
yeah, no, it's okay. That's
now
a good
that we
intro.
Have summarized
we could just
the
change this whole episode to complaining about Colin.
Oh, that sounds great.
I've got novels written on the subject.
No, that's like every episode. That's not a change.
This is my bid for High Sheriff. We'll just complain about Colin all the time. It'll be great.
Oh, my God. Nobody wants to listen to
that. I support this decision by the new High Sheriff.
I mean, you get the position,
man.
Sure.
All right.
Position, sure.
All right.
Position, sure.
All right.
Position, sure.